Now in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, or chapter 6 and in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. We find here the Bible said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance, dead works, and our faith towards God. Doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, looking back there in verse 1, where he said, let us go on. I believe that there was a time here when these people, as he gives us a record of in the book of Galatians, that were running well. I believe they were. Maybe running well. But then we find that something, maybe unknown to us, maybe unknown to them, hindered them. Have you ever been hindered?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And now we find, beloved, that some people that we would classify as being giants, you know what I mean? Have been hindered along the way. This may be a real simple way of looking at it, but out on the road there, I see a number of 18-wheelers. Boy, I mean, they're swift. They're going on. I was way up in Virginia one time, and I was climbing this long hill. That thing must have been 4 or 5 miles long. I was making 70 miles an hour, and that great big 18-wheeler zipped past me. I'm talking about powerful, brother. Powerful. But then just the other day, maybe coming down here on this trip, I saw one of them parked on the side of the road. Hood's up. Something hindered him. Have you ever been hindered? The Bible said, let him that thinketh, he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. So we find that these people here, they've been hindered along the way. Now, about two or three things, beloved, that sometimes will hinder a person. Let me ask you again, have you ever been hindered? You don't have to answer me. Answer it in the quietness of your own thing. Have you ever been hindered along the way? I mean, like they were in the book of Galatians, running well. Hitting on every cylinder, running well. Like my little G.O. 532,000 miles. I mean, 532,000 miles. If you take an ocean, the max down on the accelerator, you better be sure the runway's clear. But there is a possibility we can be hindered. The very best, most intelligent, can be hindered.
Amen.
Sometimes Satan does hinder. Paul said, I purchased time and time again, come unto thee, but Satan did hinder me. Satan did hinder me.
Amen.
If he could hinder the Apostle Paul, he might be able to hinder you. How would you look to stand on the balance with the Apostle Paul? How would you look for the Apostle Paul? Stand in your face, look you straight in the eye, and say, I stand in doubt of you. Look at that one. We'll be flopping too high, wouldn't you? I'd rather Charlie tell me that it's Paul. Now we find that they were hindered. They were hindered. Anybody in the audience this morning are subject, they're subject to be hindered. Be hindered. Be hindered.
Amen.
You're subject to be hindered before the service over today. Subject to be hindered.
Amen.
First thing I called your attention to that is subject to hinder is the scold of the devil. You ever have him scold you? And he can make you feel a little. the scold of the devil. Now, I believe the thorn could be a scold. He can hit you hard with a thorn, can't he? Charlie, has the devil ever hit you with a thorn? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I wish he'd leave us alone. I wish he would.
Amen.
Scorn of the devil. Scorn of the devil. Look at that for just a moment. He said, lest I be exalted above measure due to the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh. Hard to appreciate a thorn, isn't it? Amen. Do you ever thank God for a thorn? Hard, isn't it? Lest you be exalted above measure due to the abundance of the revelation now was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. You may have your own line of thought in regards to this, but I believe that thorn, that scold from the devil, slowed Paul down. You say, why do you believe it's that it slowed him down, preacher? Well, you don't see him shouting the victory at that particular time. We hear him as he said, for this thing that's hurting me, this thing that's bothering me, this thing that's bringing me under, I besought the Lord Christ, asking three times, it may be, depart. If you're asking for something to depart, you don't have the victory over it. Cannot have the victory over if you're pleading for it to leave. You know, dear beloved, I believe except for the grace of God, Paul himself would have been in this number here. I believe he would, except for the grace of God. You try it. I mean, you just try it and see how far you can go without the grace of God. Amen. Here we see the picture of one of the greatest that's ever lived, and we see him down. We see him down in the quicksand, listen, and he's saying, God, let it depart from me. And we find the Lord. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't it wonderful what the grace of God can do for you? The grace of God is unlimited. Where is there a place that the grace of God is not able to reach? Where sin doeth abound, where sin doeth abound, where sin doeth abound, grace doeth much more abound.
Amen.
You say, preacher, how are you going to explain that in death? Well, what about the resurrection?
Yeah.
Amen. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. He said to die would be gain. I'm in a strait betwixt two. My greater desire is to depart and meet with the Lord, which is far. I just say humbly, then you'd be better off dead. Amen. Grace, listen, grace is not off limited in the future. Be more grace there than we sure. Amen. How can you defeat the resurrection? They put him to death. Who could keep him from getting up?
Amen.
Amen. But we find here, beloved, that the thorn, the skull from the devil had Paul, even had the Apostle Paul, damned. The grace of God, the grace of God is what revived him. The grace of God is what sent him on his way.
Amen.
And then not only are the skull from the enemy, our beloved, subject to bring you under. I mean bring you under. Boy, there have been times in my own life I felt like I'm going on. Oh, no. Nothing going to hinder me. 2 seconds, I'm there. Did I tell you about the little experience I had coming out of Florida one time, coming through Atlanta? Came to my mind, I've got a friend here in the hospital and needs somebody to donate him some blood. I thought, well, I'll take care of that. I went on my tiptoes down the aisle. And somebody said, Mr. Bush. I said, thank you kindly, but I haven't got time right now. I'm on a real important mission. I've got a friend in here. Needs some blood. I'm going to take care of him. Went down there and a little bitty nurse. Didn't even have a needle in her hand. Said, Colonel, let me see your finger. She took a little piece of cotton, put it in a little bit of alcohol, and done this. No, no, no. I mean, the great, the macho can be hindered. Not only the scold of the devil sometimes will hinder a child of God from going on. But then, no progress. Do you really shout the victory when you're not making any progress? Glad I'm not making no progress. The car won't start. I'm glad. The washing machine quit. My better half's a fussing. No progress. No progress in life. No progress in life. Church is going under. Nobody will do that. No progress. Pull you down. Pull you down. Pull you down. Many other things we could mention, but now for a few moments, let's consider some things that will encourage us to go on.
Amen. Amen.
Let me say this. You won't go far without some encouragement. You will not go far without somebody encourages you. You'll have to get some encouragement from a different source if you go very far in the work of the Lord. Now, number one, let's look at Job for a moment. We find that the Bible said that Job was a perfect man.
Amen.
That doesn't really mean sinless perfection. He had a body just like you and I've got.
Amen.
But what it means, he was submitted. He was submitted. He didn't let sin reign. Didn't let sin rule. His life had under subjection. This is a simple way of looking at it. Simple way of looking at it. You can live peacefully, sleep sound, with a lion in the living room. How many ever tried that? You hear me? I said Job had this under subjection. Amen. Amen. That'll solve your problem. And I say again, this is a simple way of looking at it. But you can live, you can live. You can live. And if you can do it, anybody else can.
Amen.
If he can do it, I can do it. If he can do it, you can do it. If he can do it, Jack, you can do it.
Amen.
Without an excuse. Without an excuse.
Amen. That's right.
We're to blame ourselves. Amen. I say you can live peaceably with a roaring lion in the living room and sleep and dream of heavenly things. If he's in a good cage. If he's under subjection.
Amen.
If this Adamic nature is under subjection, under God, not yielding unto sin, but yielding unto God, under God, you can live with him. Shout the victory in his presence. But you better not turn him out of the cage. You better keep him in the cage. You better keep this mortal body in the cage. He'll give you trouble. The devil will give you trouble. He says, the roaring lion that Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about to and fro in the earth, seeking whomsoever he may devour. He may devour you. He's got you in mind. Now, don't say this to discourage you, but there's a possibility he's got something greater than you. There's a possibility some greater than you has already been subdued. Amen. Your only hope is to keep it under subjection that Christ may live in you. Paul puts it like this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live of the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. With that attitude, beloved, you can go on. You can go on. So we find the reason that God said that Job is a perfect man, fears God, eschews evil, listen, is because he had his body under subjection unto God. Amen. Job went on because he had his body under subjection unto God. Amen. And I want to say this. He kept it under subjection a long time. He kept it under subjection a long time. Now, I could have it under subjection today, but that don't mean it won't rise up tomorrow.
Amen.
It'll rise up. A lot of times when you unexpected it, some of the harder licks, blows the devil has ever thrust on me is when I knew he wasn't around nowhere. That's where he gets you. One reason that Paul said, I die daily. Don't give him a chance. Stay dead.
Amen.
Amen. When you're staying dead, Christ is living in you.
Amen.
That is good to put you in. Amen. So we find, beloved, that Job, for a long period of time, stayed dead to the flesh. Saying that God blessed him. He could. You know, Job, a little unusual. Above the average, he could cope with prosperity. Joe, you ever have a problem with prosperity? Some preachers, they don't have much of a problem with prosperity. Let me ask you a question, preacher. Has your offering ever been low enough you could count it? Brother Tab, have you ever had an offering that was low enough you could count it? I mean, if we got a an offering is low enough that we can count it, we may not have much of a problem with prosperity. Oh, Brother Roger Henson, I already know Roger. I asked him that question one time. I said, Roger, have you ever had an offering that was low enough till you could count it? He said, with all sincerity, he said, Earl, the paper boy cashes my check. But Job, bless you, Job, he knew how to deal with prosperity. I mean, when he's on a high elevation, financially, God gives him a good report. And then he can, not only could he deal with prosperity, but he could deal with poverty. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. They boldly said, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I mean, it's a happy time in your life when you can deal with prosperity, when you can deal with poverty. You can go on when you do that. Go on when you do that. But then we'll have to confess there was a breaking point in Job's life. We just kind of slipped this in. Over there in chapter 2, the latter part of chapter 2 and chapter 3, we find he began to break. Job began to even curse the day he was born. Yeah. Would you not admit that is bad? That is bad. He pressed on for long ways. Yes, sir. Let me say this. There is a breaking point in everybody's life. Amen. Job reached that point where it broke. He reached that point where it broke. Amen. But then we find that although he broke, that didn't mean the Lord broke.
Amen.
That didn't destroy the Lord's grace. Mention one little phrase right here. We'll go on. You know, I couldn't tell you how much I appreciate the scripture about the book of Hebrews where it said, seeing therefore we have a great high priest passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly, throne of grace, may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. But we'll make an honest confession. There's a time, beloved, I get so weak, get so pushed down, get so bogged down in the quicksand of this life, I can't reach it. I can't go to that throne of grace. But now here's the beauty of it. When I'm weak and can't make it, he can always come to me.
Amen.
Oh, and we find that even when Job was going under, God could still and did reach him.
Amen.
Give him more in the last than he did in the beginning.
Amen.
That's a wonderful Lord.
Amen.
Go on. Go on. He went on by the grace of God. And I say this humbly and tenderly, but yet truly, if you go on, if I go on, it'll be by the grace of God.
Amen.
You might as well mark it down. You desperately need the good grace of God. Desperately need the good grace of God. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world.
Amen.
According to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Someone asked Brother Mays Jackson one time, said, Brother Mays, do you believe that once in grace, always in grace? Brother Mays said, I believe grace all the way.
Amen.
You won't get started without the grace of God. You won't continue without the grace of God. You won't finish without the grace of God. No. Our time is getting slipped away here. Let me say this. I got just a few more minutes. Let's look back at Paul just for a little thought here and then we'll go close. I believe that every one of us would agree that Paul was one of the greater ones. one of the greater ones. But there again, the question would be, how far would Paul have made it in this life, even as a child of God, without the grace of God? He wouldn't went far. I guarantee you he wouldn't went far. Paul had to have the grace of God. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His saving grace. How many in here that saved this morning, I believe, would be saved on your way to heaven if it had not been for the good saving grace of God? But you know, isn't it amazing? You know, I believe, sometimes I believe that when we get over in glory, we might see some people that we're not really expecting, you reckon? I might get over there and see you. I might get over there and even see Charlie. Why, preacher? Oh, because of the saving grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There's saving grace, and then there is living grace. Amen. Amen. Living grace. I'll be honest with you, speaking for myself. There have been times, and still is times, I've known I done come to wit's end. You ever been there? You knew you done not arrived at wit's end? Talking about being arrived. I've been there a number of times. When I knew I had arrived at the point of no return. I knew I was so far over the Niagara Falls until there's no hope of me ever getting back. Amen. Then the lovely Lord, isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Let me run this by you one more time. I was out on that back porch one night in the wintertime, Lord, it was cold. Not only in the natural, but it was cold in the spiritual as well. It's so cold. You ever been there? You have to get in a deep freeze to get thawed out. Cold, people. Cold, cold, cold. I've said it's cold. You ever been there, son? Cold, cold, cold. Seemed like all hopes were gone. And my lovely Lord, mercy and grace, in a spiritual sense, just stepped down on my elevation. When I can't get to Him, He can get to me. And stepped down a few steps below me, looked up at me, give me a little salute.
Amen.
Give me a little salute. If he salute me, I know he salute you. Said, so I just decided what I've done for others, I just do for you. That's grace. That'll encourage you to get up and go on for the glory of God. Get up and go on for the glory of God. Amen. And then listen, beloved, that joy of a finished course. When you graduated from high school, was there joy there? I'll tell you something here in regards to high learning. You won't believe in regards to myself. I got expelled, hear me real close? I got expelled in kindergarten. What was you charged with? For chewing tobacco, cussing the teacher, spitting in the wastebasket. I mean, they put me out. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when all society kicked you out, the Lord will come along. The Lord will come along, pick you up. Amen. Love you.
Amen.
Breathe on you.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes even put you in the spotlight. That's His grace. That's His grace. The joy of a finished course.
Amen.
You know what I mean? One of the greater rewards on the other side will be, won't have to be in the presence of nobody. In the presence of nobody. Maybe standing down by the river somewhere. The Lord just come walking by, just sort of pass by and whisper and say, well done. Paul, listen, beloved, the joy of finishing the course. us, encouraging to get up and go on for the glory of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Walk along with the Apostle Paul when he said there in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itch in ears. Be thou watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of the man. Make full proof of your ministry. For he said, I am now ready to be offered. Amen. Time my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight. Finished the course. Kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
Amen.
The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, not to be only, but unto them also that love me. Won't that be sweet on the other side?
Amen.
Ah, man. Pressing towards that mark, prize the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
You think about it. I mean, if we could find, I'm sure he's not here, but if we could find the ugliest man in the world, if we could find the ugliest man in the world, standing on the other side over there, congregated with all the saints of God, and the ugliest man in the world standing next to Jesus, the angels with perfect vision looking on, that ugliest man would look like Christ. I look for him. He makes the difference. Be satisfied when I wake with his light.
Yeah.
That'll encourage you to get up and go.